Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Before we begin, everyone do me a favor. Thanks. Read a little thing I wrote called The Federalist Papers. Yeah. I explain how a nation's unlikely to survive without a strong central government to keep it alive. When I lost the central bank, Jefferson called me ill. Now you have my face to thank on every $10 bill. When America was cash-strapped, I pushed past that. Now some sicko makes crypto, and our nation backtracks.
Decentralized currency? Yeah, I invented it. I'm sure many governments wish they had prevented it. Their national cash is how they keep control. But freedom to the people was my ultimate goal. Am I a pseudonym, a group of men? It doesn't even matter. Nope. I invented Bitcoin because fiat is a disaster. A man from Japan or a damn hologram. I'm the reason open season on crypto began.
Well, good afternoon and welcome. This is the Tokens Radio Show. And my name is Christy Matthews.
And I'm Linda Kent.
Good to see you.
Yeah, it's been a very eventful week
in the
news cycle.
It sure
is. As we say, yeah, on all cylinders, guys.
You bet. Well, we're broadcasting live from the studios at KCNR in Redding, California. Today is Sunday, January the 22nd.
I can't believe it. Isn't it?
Oh, my gosh.
Where did January go?
It's here and gone.
You got that right.
We've already eaten through a twelfth of our year.
We sure have. Oh, my gosh. Yes, how do you consume a year? A month at a time.
Yeah. One monthly bite at a time.
Oh, my gosh. You can catch our previous shows at our newly refreshed TokensRadioShow.com website. That's TokensRadioShow.com. You can find us on Twitter and Telegram at Tokens Radio Show. And the phone number is 530-605-4567, and the chat room is open.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be having Jed Powers and Patrick here from the Bitcoin Center, and they're going to be joining us here at the bottom of the hour, so stay tuned for that. They've got some great updates that they want to share with us that's going on over there, and it's going to tie in very well with our conversation today.
Yeah, stay tuned. This is a pretty interesting conversation
I think so, too. So currently, Bitcoin is sitting at 22,431.
Wow.
It actually touched 23,000 yesterday. Ethereum, 1613, XRP, 39 cents, nearly 40 cents, and XLM is sitting at 9 cents. And do we want to go over Liam's experience last week before we get into crypto?
Let's go ahead and do that. We had Alan and Lauren on last week.
Yes.
And they actually helped Liam out, didn't they, Liam?
They did.
Well, we should tee it up a little bit. You know, Alan has a reputation for, because of his job, he's a commercial airline pilot.
Right. So he travels a lot.
I should say a private airline pilot. And flies commercially that way. But he goes all over the world, and in his travels, he's been orange pilling.
Everybody. He does it with everybody anywhere.
Yeah, that's promoting mass adoption of Bitcoin. And so in what he also does is that he tips his drivers, waitresses, food servers, you name it, in Bitcoin if they wish to receive Bitcoin.
Right.
And
so after the show last week, he walked into Liam and said, "Hey, Liam, you want to do this?" And you were not sure, but would it take you a whole, go ahead and explain, 5 minutes or something?
Yeah, so they had me, it's pretty cool. I don't really understand a whole lot about, crypto and stuff. But he set me up with this system, this app, where you could put your Bitcoin on it. And
Now, that was the Moon Wallet, right?
Called the Moon Wallet,
That's M-U-U-N.
Yeah. And so you're able to, essentially, the way they explained it. It's not like I have, a bunch of money or anything. But it's if I were to say travel to Thailand and I didn't want to bring my money with me, in cash, I could remember a code, for example, and I could access my money there. But I don't know. It's cool. I made $1.60
Yes.
In a week.
Nice.
So
we've got ourselves
cool.
A hodler here.
You know, you just made me think when you said if I traveled to Thailand. I was reading an article earlier today that they're actually suggesting people not to carry cash. I think it was in Chicago or somewhere. You know, and I'm thinking, in more ways than one, we're coming back to Bitcoin because you don't have to worry about it.
Right. Well, I think that's awesome, Liam.
Yeah.
And it was very simple. It took about 5 minutes.
5 minutes, yeah.
And so both Alan and Lauren tipped you.
Yeah.
That was cool.
That was pretty cool.
Excellent.
Yeah. Oh, so now we can put you out on the street.
Yeah. And you would say it's a good experience? Yes,
I think it was a great experience.
Okay. And does it make it easy for you? They did talk with you about how you might be able to put a little bit aside by using the Moon Wallet or even using Strike, Cash App to transfer, buy a little Bitcoin and transfer it into your Moon Wallet, right?
Yeah.
Here's a question. Cool. Would you be able to do that with one of your friends? Pretty easy.
Yeah, I probably could.
Yeah. Excellent. I'm so glad to hear that because we watched the whole thing happen and this was just terrific. Okay.
Oh, we got a little liveliness going on in the studio. So if there's a little pause or something, that's why. So we'll move right along. I'm glad we brought Liam in and let him explain what happened last week. And that possibly then he could start showing his friends different stuff. So
with that,
how about you draw a card since I know everybody's kind of busy at the moment. And let's do that.
All right. So let's see what's we got here.
What we got?
Oh, FOMO.
FOMO. All right. FOMO, fear of missing out. Fear of missing out. FOMO is the feeling that you are missing out on something fundamentally important, whether it be information, events, experiences, or life decisions that can make one's life better. In crypto and other financial markets, these physiological phenomena manifest as a fear of missing out in potential gains by not being invested. FOMO can potentially lead to irrational decisions that can have negative consequences, so keep your emotions in check.
Absolutely. Especially since this run-up this last weekend.
Right.
All of a sudden it's running up. You go, oh my gosh, I should have bought it at 16.
But that's the way it always is in all the markets. And then when it dropped, people go, oh, why did I worry about it? Then it starts going up, and it's like, oh, man, I should have bought last week. So that's just the way it is. But they still say, there's plenty going on, and there's plenty around still. Yeah. So.
Yes. So, Mr. Producer, are you going to be locking the door? Okay, well, that's fine. It's never a dull moment here in downtown Reading.
Reading? The ground level, I'm telling you so. Anyway, so don't feel FOMO. You can still get stuff.
Yes, exactly. And with the excitement that's going on in the market right now, not quite sure if this is the move, the beginning of a bull run, so just be careful. The best way to do this is dollar cost average in.
Exactly. And again, just to get a plug in there for the people that we love so much, Swan is the cost effectiveness. I love it.
Yeah.
And with it going up, you can always buy more. You can always buy less. Yes. I mean, you can adjust to whatever else is going on in your life, which is great.
And we should give a shameless plug. We'll just give the shameless plug. You can get $10 of free Bitcoin opening up a cost-free account at swanbitcoin.com by using our affiliate code swanbitcoin.com/tokensradioshow. And there's a free book offering there as well. It's absolutely free. If you sign up, you get $10 worth of free Bitcoin.
Right.
What a deal.
Yeah, and then you can turn other people on. So with that, I mean, we have a subject matter here that we would like to go over.
Absolutely.
And it actually came from Mark Moss.
Well, can we back up a little bit?
Sure.
I think Mark Moss just kind of summarized it in a way.
Maybe that's a better way to put it.
We've been talking about this for some time. And it started off, a really good tee off was when Alan and Lauren was here last week.
About the beef initiative.
Exactly. And Bitcoin ties into all of this. And so...
There well, you go, yeah. Linda. Well, we're always talking about, you know, what's going on in the political world and, you know, just our lives in general and how things have changed so much. And a lot of times we don't have a lot of control of what's happening in our lives.
Right.
Really.
Well, we do.
Because
don't.
We kind of get, I wouldn't say FOMO, but we kind of get blinders on. And we're used to doing things a certain way at a certain time and all. Well, this kind of gives you another perspective of maybe not staying in the, on the freeway like everybody else, maybe making your own freeway. You know, another alternative to accomplish the same thing. A parallel economy.
Yeah, and I think it's a good point. I like the analogy, but I think we just may not have choices other than moving to a parallel economy.
Okay, I'll agree with that. Yes. That our choices are getting limited.
Yes.
Because of the people above us.
Right.
Are definitely putting the screws to you, like they say, you know, they're making the boxes get smaller and smaller and smaller in what we can do. You have to have a permit for this. You got to have a permit for that. You got to have, permission to do this.
Right.
And if we stay there, it just keeps, it's going to get smaller and smaller and smaller.
And human nature does not like being put in a corner. No one likes to be put in a corner. And once you feel like you've been put in a corner and you need to fight your way out. Parallel economies are written all throughout history. And we have three historic cycles that are happening right now. They're all converging at the same time. This isn't something we just made up and decided to, you know, pull out and talk about. You can find this. Please research it. And, you know, the first one is that we're at the end of a 250-year political cycle.
Mm-hmm.
It's a political revolution cycle where you get to peak centralization or peak globalization. And there are so many ways that so many examples on this. The censorship that's going on, that is
across the board,
a collaboration of social media companies, the three four-letter agencies of our government and world governments that are dictating and controlling the message. And if the right message is not out there, then you get deplatformed, villainized, and it's just horrible. And this is done throughout history. It's the old playbook.
But again, through history, people have figured out a parallel place to be, and you see that with other platforms now in the media. You brought up media,
right.
How we are changing that. The people are shifting. They're making the pivoted shift to other things,
right.
You know. But back to your cycles, you know, we're coming to an 80-year financial cycle.
That's correct. And then we talked about the global private-public pyramid. I mean, you look at who is the puppet master? Who is pulling the strings?
Right.
Pulling the chains. And then you've got the Bank of International Settlements. We talked about this before, the World Health Organization, the World Economic Forum, which has happened to be having their big meeting
now,
in Davos
this
weekend. And then you have how many times have we talked about the fourth tier of government, which is the unelected, non-elected officials who make regulations and are really taking that drive our economy, are driving our country right now, whether it's economic, social, judicial.
Right.
It's all based on this regulatory regime.
Whether, and it doesn't mean that it's good for us at all.
No, not at all.
You know, so.
And that involves, you know, you've heard of the Great Reset, Build Back Better. When I heard those terms, when Biden ran, Build Back Better, that gave me a chill, very much like when our 44th president came out, 43rd and 44th president came out and says he's going to totally transform the United States of America. Those are buzzwords for something much more, ominous. And this is right in line with the Communist Manifesto.
Yeah.
This is communist speak.
Yes. It kind of reminds me when we heard the term change. Yes. You know, it was like at first, well, that might be good. And then you get to thinking, that's a little scary. This is not what I signed up for.
Then you got the public-private partnerships. We see that that's alive and well in this area. I know here locally, we've publicly have asked about these relationships and why are we doing this. And this is where the government will be able to say, you know, we really don't know. We don't control the money part of all of that because that's on the private side, and we really can't FOIA them and get that kind of information.
Right.
So the public's left out in the cold about that. And then you got stakeholder
capitalism. Yeah.
Yep. So,
And then, you know, moving along, you know, we got ourselves into a lot of problems, like when they did the passing of the Patriot Act.
Right.
You know, after 9/11, I mean, 9/11 was big. It was something that people never thought would happen in this country. It happened. It changed.
It was an attack on the homeland.
Yeah. But then, of course, they put the Patriot Act in. And that is not what you think it is. And what it did to us was just not good at all. That allowed the government to start spying on us is basically what it did.
Right. And as Mark Moss put it, is that that's the day that more freedom died than at any other time in the United States history. And I would agree with that. Look at all the censorship that's came about.
Exactly.
It was the beginning of the Department of Homeland Security and the umbrella agency for all of the other three-letter agencies that are underneath
it. Yeah, that we have to have permits and permissions and we have to beg in order to do things with. Yeah. So then at that time, it also, we went from a nation of laws to laws being ruled by men. These rules were changed. You change the rules as they please. You know, those, the upper people, as you said before, then they started changing the rules to however they felt when they felt it, you know.
Yeah, and I think it's ironic, too, that another note here is that today in the United States, the land of the free, we have more people as a percentage locked up in prisons now than there ever was in the Soviet Union gulag. At the height of its power.
That's interesting.
That's chilling.
That is very chilling.
But, you know, there's history about this. It happened in the Soviet Union. It's happening in Venezuela. It's happened in Romania in a very big way, where people felt so suppressed, their currency, the whole bit, and even now it's even worse because we have the ability to turn on and turn off our money. That would be the digital currency, the CBDCs. But any time that this has happened where governments become too oppressive, humans find a way around it, and that's what leads us to the parallel structure or parallel economies.
Yes.
They're survival mechanism, and that's usually what breaks tyrannical governments. Eventually.
Well, yeah. The problem is, also, you were saying how people lack confidence. We lack confidence in our government because our government's gotten so big and so out of control.
They're not for the people.
They're not for us at all anymore. Right. And again, like you say, we start figuring out a way to survive. And the parallel economy is the way that we do that.
You do it peacefully.
Mm-hmm.
You take charge. And so you're going, okay, what's this parallel economy and all of that? Well, in order to make it have a real impact, it has to cover and extend to every part of the economy. And those parallel structures must be built in the area of education. Look at how our children are being educated now. Science and scholarship, parallel political structures. You might think of, I'm thinking of one in the education sector for political education might be like the Heritage Foundation.
Yes.
A parallel information network, Twitter, Truth Social. Free parallel markets that form a parallel economy. And how do you do that?
Well, you start doing it locally.
Locally.
You have to do it, you know, we always say this in all, if you're in the political world, so to speak, we always are bringing it back to local, but that is where it's at. It takes us together making a partnership, in your community to have this start happening so you can gain the momentum
right
to go somewhere. And you can depend on your neighbor. It gets where, yeah, I know you have a cow, so I know I can go get beef from you, and you know you can get right. eggs from me.
Right.
And you can eliminate having to deal with that other system.
Right. In our form of money, which money is just a sophisticated form of bartering. It's just a consolidated form of bartering. But in the what you just described, Linda, is that we could actually trade something of value.
Yes.
For the eggs, for the beef. Mm-hmm. And it may not be a coin or anything like that. We'd like to think it's Bitcoin.
Yes.
That makes the most sense. It's the easiest thing. But it could be anything of value.
Mm-hmm.
In our economy,
yes.
In our parallel economy. One of the other things we were talking about off air was how the mRNA vaccines are now moving into the
yes.
veterinary world and,
yes.
and into our food supply.
This is very scary.
So your local rancher may not be subject to that because they're not under that centralized food processing umbrella.
Right. So if
they're
we
stick a local rancher.
Yeah. If we stick together as a community, they don't have to worry about it
right.
as much. Where if you got the big guy
right.
coming in and saying, hey, I'm, you know, you're only going to deal with me, then you're going to do this, this, or that, or we're not going to buy your beef, or we're not going to buy your
yeah.
eggs, or we're not going to, whatever it is.
Or we may not give you that USDA stamp that
right.
you're looking for.
So then,
right.
then your meat's going to go rotten. That's why we have to do the parallel economy and start sticking together, because then you can tell them, well, you know what? I don't have to worry about you. I know, for example, a local dairy that it came down to, you know, like Land O'Lakes saying, hey, you will deal only with us, and we're going to take your milk, and we're only going to make butter. And the guy said, you know what? No. And he's doing just fine. But it's back to the community, that parallel economy.
Absolutely. So Lauren's been working on working with the ranchers locally, and there's one in particular. There are others, but I'm going to mention this one. It's called High Noon. High Noon Beef out of Millville. And it fits. You check all the boxes off for grass-fed. Their grain finishing is with organic, healthy grains that are not adulterated by any GMO type of ingredients or animal rendering or anything like that. Just wholesome food. They're local, and we can support them
mm-hmm.
that way. The other thing is education.
That is big.
We can unschool or homeschool pod our children. We know many people
mm-hmm. yes,
who have started
yeah.
homeschool pods. Mm-hmm. So you're thinking, oh, I can't homeschool my child. But yes, you can. You may not be able to physically do that, but you can go to a group
a
school of people that you know
mm-hmm.
that locally
mm-hmm.
and have a homeschool curriculum that the parents each help out with.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
the children are not exposed to the centralized education model.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, before I always said that it wasn't right, and it isn't right that we have to worry about the education system for our kids in the public
right.
sector, that we need to change things. But we have to be able to do that more. So going to the private sector of the
right.
homeschooling pods right now is, I think, where we have to go.
Crucial.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I guess...
Let's touch one more thing,
okay.
and then we'll go to the break.
Right.
The other one is health, and we're starting to
yes.
see many, particularly the alternative healthcare practitioners who are working privately. They're not taking insurance.
Right, and you
okay.
got your naturopaths and
right.
things like that that are starting to
and
pop up more.
And there are MDs, there are attorneys who are leaving their associations and saying, we'll just work under a private structure.
Yes.
That's the parallel economy in a nutshell.
Yep, that is. And with that, we're going to take a break. At the bottom of the hour, we will be bringing on our guest, and we will see you in three.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Come on, come on, let's burn together. Oh, you know together we will stand. Every boy, girl, woman, and a man.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Veterans, did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Redding, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
Welcome back. We got a lot of things going on this afternoon, I have to say. Thank goodness for our producer in there, because we would be really in trouble.
I'm just watching you guys, you're just talking away, and I'm like, man, when are we coming back in?
Well, here we are.
And Linda makes eyes at me, and I was like, I pointed at her.
So we're here.
We're good.
We're making eyes. I'm watching.
So we're excited to have Jed Powers back by with the Reading Bitcoin Center. And we have Patrick here, who is doing the IT work on their website. And he's also a member of the Reading Meetup, a Bitcoin Meetup. And his lovely wife is here, and she's just kind of hanging out, right? Okay, yeah. I don't want to talk. It's fine.
You know, one thing nice about radio is I used to be really shy, and I still am out in public, but nobody can really see you.
Yeah.
Nobody's looking at you. So I got where it was really comfortable, because you don't have all them little eyes looking at you like you are on stage. So it makes it nice.
So Jed has been very involved in the community, and you know, we've been talking about the parallel economy, and it was teed up very nicely last week when we spoke with Lauren and Alan. And the Reading Bitcoin Center, I think, is kind of is like a nucleus, if you will, for this. And what Jed has been doing is that he's been working with merchants, among other things, which I'm sure he'll want to share with us, how he's going out to merchants and showing other ways of receiving payment for transactions that could be in Bitcoin, right? Because
Absolutely.
Of the point of sale device that you're promoting. So, do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Thank you for having me. By the way,
glad to have you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Welcome.
So, at the Reading Bitcoin Center, we use a company called IBEX for our point of sale for Bitcoin. Fratelli's Pizza uses it as well, and Shasta Barber Company, Marcus Howard there, uses IBEX if you want to spend Bitcoin. And my thing usually to these companies and asking them if they want to accept Bitcoin is, if we come in, for instance, for Telly's, we do our Bitcoin meetup there, mm-hmm. we have a big group of people come in and they buy stuff, typically we're all going to swipe our card. Well, you're being charged 2.5%, 3.5% for that. Well, if you accept Bitcoin and you don't believe in Bitcoin, you can get 100% of that transaction in cash minus a 1% fee. So instead of it being 2.5% or 3%, you can get it for 1%. So when we have a big group of people coming in, 15 people, 20 people, that adds up.
Right. Yeah. And saying that, okay, example, in my business, I do taxes and bookkeeping. Wonder if I wanted to do that for the people that I'm doing the bookkeeping for, or taxes or whatever. You know, I'm not going to get 30 people at once, but
right.
We do see a lot of people.
Yeah, and that's my other point, too, is if you're going to accept Bitcoin, you don't have to worry about 50 people coming in every day and spending Bitcoin. It's right. going to be maybe a quarter of a percent of your total sales. So with, like, Brandon at Fratelli's Pizza, he doesn't even convert it to cash. He just accepts the Bitcoin, and by the end of the day, that goes into his private wallet that he controls. So the company Ibex doesn't even want to keep your Bitcoin. If you sign up for their service and you don't put in an address that you control, they will be hounding you until you do that because they don't want to hold your Bitcoin. They do their payouts twice a day. So
wow.
roughly every 12 hours, that's being sent to you, whether it's going into your Bitcoin account or into your bank account. If you want to do a conversion into dollars, you obviously have to put in KYB requirements, know your business, mm-hmm. and all of your bank information and stuff like that. So that's kind of where we're at with the Reading Bitcoin Center, and where I talk about, you know, let's have this circular economy that we all can just, you know, you can go get your haircut at Marcus Howard's Shasta Barber Company. He can take that Bitcoin now.
Wait, I don't know if I want to go to a barber company to get my haircut, but maybe.
Actually, he's very well trained.
Is he? Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's a veteran.
I'm just thinking of barber, and I'm looking at you guys going, maybe a little too short there.
Yeah. So then he can take that payment that we give him, and then he can go buy Fratelli's and take his wife and kids out for pizza and video games and stuff like that. And it's all staying amongst us, and it's not going to any central authority that's
right.
going to try to give you permission, yes or no, you can make that payment. No, this is censorship resistant.
Right.
You have an address. You can accept Bitcoin, and nobody can stop it.
I like that 12-hour thing,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, even with regular credit cards, we all know, especially American Express, it can take 30 days, 45 days,
right.
60 mm-hmm. days before you even begin to see your money, let alone the charges that are coming out against it.
Yeah.
And we just have to be truthful about the banking situation. It's looking, it's fragile. I would say, and the talk about bank bail-ins are in the news headlines
mm-hmm.
almost every day. We did a bank bailout in 2008, and now if there's another bailout, it would be called a bail-in. That's because every one of us would be bailing out the bank with our depositors' money, and it could go up to 50% of what we have there.
Yeah.
So FDIC insurance, credit union insurance, that's really not going to do you a lot of good. And if you do have to do a bail-in, it could wipe you out. And if you are a business and it gets to a point to where the central authority or a particular banking institution through the central authority decides they don't like how you're doing business because of what you think or what you're talking about, they can shut your business down,
yes.
your ability yep. to run your business through their bank.
You probably have seen that on the news multiple times.
Oh, yes.
And these banks.
I just didn't imagine that.
Right. These banks, really, they're scared.
Yes.
If you see Jamie Dimon talk, oh, Bitcoin's a fraud, all this, just look at how much they've paid in fines over the last 10 years
right.
for fraudulent activity, for laundering money for the cartels, for doing all of these things that we would all be in prison for the rest of our life for.
Mm-hmm.
But since they're running the banks, they get helped out. You know, give a man a gun and he can rob a bank. You give a man a bank and you can rob the world.
Yeah, well,
they've been doing that quite. Yeah. They're quite good at it, just so you know.
Absolutely.
So Jeff, you've been revamping your website, and we just redid ours too. What a difference! So, what was the vision for revamping the website, and what have you done?
And what is the website for the people out there?
The website's going to be ReadingBitcoinCenter.org. We also have .com and .net, and those will all be linked together. So if you search either one, it'll take you to the Reading Bitcoin Center, and we are offering classes, basic beginner Bitcoin classes, more advanced classes. Patrick is helping put together a node build day class, and then another one we call a Bitcoin weather monitor, which scrolls information, the weather, your block height, transaction fees, how much Bitcoin is at that second, and the cost per dollar for Satoshis. And so the goal is to get this up and running within the next few weeks so we can have what we're offering the community. We've been open for maybe about 6 months, but we've been building during that time. So we've had walk-in customers, quite a few of them, and now we just need some place to direct people who are searching for us online. We also are at Bitcoin Reading on Twitter. If people want to find us, you can send me an email to readingbitcoincenter@protonmail.com if you're interested in anything specific. And
I was going to say, when do you plan on this to really be kicked off? Because we were talking about it last week of possibly taking the classes just so we know what they're like, so we can let the community know what's going on and how it is and to learn. I mean, you never can know everything.
Absolutely. You can never know too much about Bitcoin.
Right.
So the goal is hopefully the first part of March we'll be able to get these up and going. I would say the website should be done and finalized within the next couple of weeks.
Wonderful. Nice.
Yeah, so there should be a placeholder in place right now. Okay. Just a little bit of information about the Reading Bitcoin Center, how to, where we're located and how to find us for now. But we are working
on it. I'm looking right now.
So I have a question regarding the node build.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Are you using, do you work with a particular kit like Umbral or Casa? What's your approach to building a node, and what's the purpose of having a node?
Well, we don't know yet
what
we're going to do. We're still in the planning processes of everything. We're going to look at what's out there, and you have to kind of balance how easy is it to teach and to build. Right now, I'm running my own node, but I've just downloaded the software. I had an extra laptop, and it's just running on that for now. But that's not a terribly convenient way to have your node. It's a little better if you can get it on the little Raspberry Pi. Mm-hmm. It makes it a little nicer package and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so lots of advantages to having your own node.
And in your view, what is the advantages of having a node?
So the most important thing is that every time you have any kind of a transaction that happens on your wallet, even if you're just looking for your balance, that wallet has to contact a node in order to get all of the information. So if you're not running your own node, your wallet is reaching out to someone else's node to get all of that information,
and you have
to trust that they're telling you the correct information.
Right. Yep.
Now, there's some reciprocal fees to be earned as well, too. If you get on the right node stream, I might be using the wrong terms, but
so routing fees is what you're talking about.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So for instance, if I'm going to send you a payment and I don't have a direct payment with you, Christy, and I do have a connection with Patrick's node, and Patrick's node has a connection with you, I can route the payment through Patrick's node and get to you. And typically you can set your fees for that. And I think right now the typical fee is like one Satoshi to route a payment, which is great because, I mean, right now we're at about 50 Satoshis per penny. So in reality, you could send 50 payments for a penny.
Yes.
How would you know that, though? How would you?
You wouldn't.
No, with the way the node structure is set up, it will go to the nearest node.
They're all talking to each other.
And it's quicker to go to the nearest node, so the more nodes that are set up, which is also good for the network.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. The more nodes, the better.
And it kind of obfuscates who you are because you can't follow that transaction. It's all of the nodes talking to each other. And if you have a couple of hops getting to your destination, that's pretty much obfuscated.
Interesting.
So it's a more privacy as well. If you have your own node, you can look in the system and see all these nodes are out there, but you don't know who it belongs to.
Right.
Unless you know, right?
Right.
And that's the best practices.
So you just had a Bitcoin meetup, and I was reading the messages. Sound like it was an exciting one.
Yeah, it was good. We had probably about 15 people. Sure. We did our last Bitcoin meetup last Tuesday, the 17th of January at Fratelli's. That's typically where we have it nowadays because they accept Bitcoin. And they have a nice room in the back with a big TV. We can
see. And they're just really nice people.
Yeah.
It's a nice little fun spot.
It is.
It's kind of retro. You know, they got a bunch of cool 80s stuff in there. So, yeah, typically we do it once a month for the educational side of it, and that's the third Tuesday of every month. And this week we had a couple of new people.
Excellent.
We had probably 15 or more people.
Nice.
Come, something like that. So it was nice. It's nice to have people and new people especially coming out during the bear market.
Right.
This is when you see what you're made of and what everybody else is made of when you're in a bear market. When times are good, you got all kinds of people coming. But in reality, in the bear market, you find out who are the fair weather Bitcoiners and who are the true Bitcoiners.
Right. Yes.
So.
And,
man, I really want to be getting there, but I'm on a different mission right now.
Hey, get that worked out.
Unfortunately, we've got different missions going on.
Yeah.
But they all tie in together.
They do. Yes, they do.
Right?
Yes, they're all very important missions.
Yeah. We all need to do that. Find what mission we can be on and how we can help our community.
Exactly. Right. I was going to say, and it brings it back. Once again, I repeat it, and we talk about it, is bringing it back to the community level.
Yeah.
We have to bring everything back to community level so we can start building and prospering and being one and being free.
Yep.
There's good energy at the meetups as well, and what is it? Who's trying to get his meetup going in Chico? Yes. Has he gotten?
He
that
works
going?
For Chico State. We had one meetup down there.
Did you guys make that happen?
Yeah, it was great. We did it at the Sierra Brewing Company.
Oh yeah.
So great place.
It was good deal. There was probably 15 people came there. Some of the people came from Paradise. I'll do a shout out to Martel Fox. She actually works for IBEX, which is the system we use and we were just talking about. So it was nice. We had a few people come from the surrounding communities. Three or four of us got together, took a road trip down there. It was nice.
Nice.
It's a good deal.
When you say you had new people, I'm just curious, are you starting in the bear market, are you starting to see a variety of people from different levels of the community compared to before?
Yes, different levels of the community and different knowledge levels as far as Bitcoin is concerned. So we have business owners that come to the meetup. We've had bankers come to the meetup, financial people come to the meetup, all walks of life, every culture and ethnicity. So it's nice. This is what it's about. It's about gathering people from the community that are like-minded and spreading the knowledge and decentralizing our money, decentralizing our food. You know, why rely on Costco for our food? Go out and shake your rancher's hand.
Right.
And start buying milk and eggs and vegetables and meat and those sort of things.
Right.
We were talking about how the mRNA vaccines are now being introduced into the food supply, and that's going to be coming to the feedlots, so forth, and they will have to vaccinate. I mean, it's going to be...
That's the government's way of vaccinating everybody.
Yes.
It's we'll force you. If
to
you
comply.
Don't, we'll just do it with your food.
Yeah.
You know, so get away from that. Go down to Duvenvorden Farms, buy your raw milk, buy a pig. They're going to have some cows this spring. I've already told them I want one of their cows.
Oh, great.
So it's like,
nice.
You know, and shout out to Mark and Lori. They're great people. And,
yes, they are.
You know, they're the ones that are really feeling the effects of all this stuff that's going on, you know. They've got all these restrictions from the government, and they can't do certain things. They can do certain things, and they just keep making it harder and harder on them to make money and live.
Right.
So they have to keep coming up with all these ideas of changing their farm in all these different ways and trying to do different things.
Unless they comply with the government and become totally under their thumb and do it all their way.
Right.
The government is not trying to be friendly with it at all. For your local farmers or ranchers.
They're trying to run them out of business.
Right, they're trying to get rid of them, period.
Yeah, they really are.
You know, you're going to eat your bug protein, and you're not going to have true animal source protein anymore. So we all need to fight back and go, no, we're not going to do this. We're going to support those people. We're not going to support the government. We're going to take our sovereignty back.
Yes.
It's the way it should be.
Well, we have to. Yes. Yeah. By educating one person at a time. Look what happened to our medical profession. It had been beginning prior to 2008. But once 2008 came around, then we started having these federally funded health centers. How many of them do we have now? There are a number of them around
quite
here.
Quite a few, yeah.
How many doctors have left private practice to go work for the health centers? I mean, they don't have
so
to
much
deal with
right.
malpractice insurance and all sorts of things that they had to bear the expense on themselves. But that was the trade-off. Come work over here. But then now we're at a point to where in California you really can't give informed consent as we know it.
Yeah. Right. Now a lot of them are leaving the medical profession altogether because of the pressure.
Or they're working
again,
privately.
Like you say. Yeah. Yes.
Well, their goal is to make them all come work for them, right?
Yeah.
And then they're going to strong-arm those people, and pretty soon those people aren't going to be making any money where they could be in a private practice. Right?
Yeah.
It's going to be under the government thumb. How much ever they think you're worth, that's what you're going to get.
And you're going to be happy about it. You know that, don't you, Jed?
Yeah.
We've seen this throughout history. I mean, this is not a new play. This is something that's happened in history before, and it has failed. And this is why
it's
parallel economies rise up, and people say enough is enough. We're just going to do things that we do locally. We support our local farmer, our local mechanic, our local, you know, you name it, our local tech person. I mean, we're just going to do it locally.
And you can see the power that has if you're looking at anything across the board right now, because whether it's the school boards, whether it's meat, whether the ranch or the farmer, whatever, you can see these pockets across the United States and the effects that it's having, that people are standing up saying, you know what, no, we're going to do this, like you said, Jed.
Right.
We are going to go here. We are going to support this. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be under your thumb anymore. And the power that that has.
Right.
Shifting gears a little bit.
Exit stage left.
There's so much going on in my head right now. I wanted to touch base on the education program that's coming to the Bitcoin Center. And Patrick, are you working on the technical side of being able to deliver the education program online, or is that going to be an in-person thing? I do believe
we'll
that's something
online.
To do from El Salvador's program,
correct.
Isn't it?
So we have some curriculum that was worked on by me, Premier Bitcoin, first Bitcoin. So we have that curriculum. We've got some other stuff for a small crash course of if people want like a 3-week thing where they come in a couple of days a week versus a 1-day for 10-week type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Will there be a charge for that?
Yeah, there'll be a small charge. I think
can
we're
pay
looking
in Bitcoin?
At, yes, absolutely you can.
I just thought I would throw it in
I
there.
I would prefer
know?
That.
Yeah, I know.
I would prefer Bitcoin because, like we said, it just keeps this all between each other and the money stays here in Reading.
Right.
So, yeah, we've got a bunch of ideas and stuff. Patrick has been helping out. Patrick has been making also the silk screens for all of our shirts and stuff like that, our sweatshirts and things like
yeah,
that.
It's a nice shirt
Thank you,
got
Patrick.
There,
it's a nice shirt you got on there, too. He's got the Times shirt with the article, you know, Chancellor on the Brink of Second Bailout for Banks, which he makes. And we've got some shirts and some hoodies with that on it. But, yeah, we truly believe that you educate your community or the government will. And who do you want to educate your children in your community? I think we all need to talk and decide what's best for us in our communities, and we implement that. We don't need somebody that's in Washington who's making millions of dollars a year, or like local people like Gavin Newsom and Nancy Pelosi, who make like $200,000 a year, but they're worth hundreds of millions.
Well, they have insider news.
It's insider news. It's
they were never supposed
trading.
To be. The government never was supposed to be our education, our education, ever.
Yeah, it should be out completely, and we should all decide how we want our kids educated and come together as a community and educate them.
I agree.
I agree with that, yeah.
So, Patrick, tell us, it sounds like you're kind of a jack of all trades, but is it more, tell us a little bit about your background and how you got involved with this.
So, I have a background in IT. I've been working, you know, in IT departments for large companies for quite a long time. We moved up to Reading a few years ago and was looking for meet up and try to, you know, get to know some folks. And I ended up at the Reading Bitcoin meetup and hooked up with Jed and those guys. And yeah, I've been attending ever since. And
excellent.
We've been friends ever since. Right?
I have a question for you. Were you always a Bitcoiner? It's one question I usually ask everybody.
No, you know, I was aware of Bitcoin since about 2017. I regularly attend tech conferences, and there's this one guy that would every year talk about new things in technology, and one of the things he would always bring up is Bitcoin. And during his presentation, he would say, well, Bitcoin this year is, you know, $1,000. And so it was always in the back of my mind that I should look into it and research it. And then I had another friend who did really well with some of the altcoins and was, you know, describing his journey in there. And so I brought that knowledge to the Reading Bitcoin Center. Okay, what's going on? What is all this stuff? And, you know, Jed set me straight pretty much right away. It's Bitcoin or, you know.
Bitcoin, not crypto.
And that's it. Not crypto.
But we've all been victims of that.
We all have.
Yeah.
And so I think we've all evolved here. So that's very interesting.
Yeah.
Your background in IT, do you have an area of specialization like security that, you know, some people in IT, they're all over the security apparatus side of
You know, there's always a little bit of security involved when you're – it's mostly application development, business applications. And so there's always a security component to that, but I'm not a, you know, security specialist.
Okay.
Mostly just developing business applications.
Well, nice. And I'm sure you know much more than the non-IT person.
Well, there's a lot to learn
there
in,
sure
in Bitcoin.
Are. Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
I'm the non-IT person.
Yeah, so come on out. We'll have some classes coming out soon about, you know, what is the blockchain? What does that mean? Yeah. What is a wallet really do? Those sorts of things that can help people, you know, better understand Bitcoin and all of the things that are going on there.
Yeah, you need to let us know that because I know, we've talked, we would like to be part of that and to get the information out to the community, too.
And this is not an age, a young person thing. A special shout out to a special lady who's listening right now who is a senior lady. And I just want to let you know that this is a class that's for you as well. This is for everybody.
Yes.
Because
absolutely.
This is a way that we're headed. And I know you're listening. So just know, and this class is local, you would be welcome. And I think it would be great for you because you're very interested.
Absolutely. And also I'll throw in there is if you are uncomfortable in that type of setting, send me an email and we can set a time for you to come in. We'll find out where you are in the Bitcoin space and where you want to be and how to get there. So you don't have to contact me just for classes.
Right.
You can contact us and we can do private things or do it in a setting that you're more comfortable with.
That's terrific.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think anybody in this room or anybody that we've come across looks at it, you know, I know more than you or any of that. We're all here to teach each other.
Exactly. You could be at any level and you could teach us something.
Right.
Well, we're coming up towards the end of the show. This goes so quick. And we want to
thank you for
coming
in. And keep us on track with what's going on with the Bitcoin Center.
We have an open door for you guys. So if you want to come in, just let us know and let us know how things are going. You've got an announcement. You just want to come in and shoot the BS with us. It's great.
There's a lot of BS with that.
Just a reminder about the Pacific Bitcoin, October 5th and 6th. Tickets have gone up in price. That's PacificBitcoin2023.com.
All right, till next time.
And as a great man once said, the government which governs best governs least. So in this very critical type of property we call money, the most important form of property in the world, this is another way to look at Bitcoin and the importance of Bitcoin. Bitcoin, very simply, is the government that governs least. It just gives you strong property in your money, and that's it.
This train is bound for glory, and there's plenty of room for all. Well, sit
Satoshi Nakamoto, that's the name I love to say. And we don't know much about him, but he came to save the day. When he wrote about the way things are...
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.